Hi everyone, welcome to the BI Power Hour. Is this anybody's first time at the Power Hour? Just quick. Oh wow, most of you guys. Oh wow, this is going to be scary. Okay, so we have the BI Power Hour. We're doing a couple of new things this year. We have a hashtag on Twitter, BIPH. You can live tweet and we'll follow along and see what you guys like and didn't like. We'll also be doing a quiz, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But anyway, so if you have never been to the Power Hour before, here are some things that you should know. I went the wrong way. Here are some other things that you should know. This session is all about demos, very powerful demos with very little business value. Okay? One thing to keep in mind, and you will not learn anything useful. Okay? We always get this feedback in our sessions. This wasn't what I was expecting, did not learn anything useful, could not bring this back to my team. That's the whole point of this session, okay? But that said, if you do learn anything by accident, do not penalize us for this as well. 2 years ago, we actually got this, was not expecting to learn anything, but learned something useful, and we got a bad score for it. So I wanted to give this kind of as a heads up of what you're going to expect. This isn't the typical content that you get from a Microsoft technical session, okay? Whoops. The other thing is that you can win some fabulous prizes. We always try to do something new at Tech Ed. This year, we're going to have an online quiz, and I'll invite Peter up to talk about how this quiz is going to work. And we'll ask these questions in between sessions. And Peter, I don't know if you just want to do a quick introduction for yourself. And
well, I think it says it all up here, Matt. So, BI practitioner, non-Microsoft. This is sort of an unusual thing for the Power Hour until recent.
Yeah, so usually we have all people from the product team. This time we have a really good mix of SQL MVPs, people from the SQL product team, and even people from the Office product team. Even though they typically have no sense of humor, we invited them along to participate with us this time.
So this session is about making BI more fun than usual. And my little project was to go ahead and create an online quiz. So using Microsoft technologies, I've got a SQL Azure database. There's a SQL Azure website. And for those that have registered and have filled in a couple of questions, we've collected some details about you. And that will enable you to participate in the questions that arise between some of the presenters. And the incentive to do this will be that we have the most glamorous and amazing and prizes that will be the envy of all your friends. And what happens is the first person that gets this dancing banana means you're the first person to get the right answer. And so if you can show us you've got a dancing banana on your device, then you get the prize of your choice?
Prize of your choice. Come on down and we'll give you a prize.
Right. So we will proceed with the first question once Matt has got underway.
Okay.
Sorry. There is an apology up front. So I had a great Excel workbook that was going to query the Azure data, and it was going to present back to you demographic information about the audience and the profile of who answered what, or you know who got the right answer and how many people got it right. Unfortunately, my Excel workbook just corrupted. And it would take me about 10 minutes to fix it, so not all is lost. So we'll still know who the winner is, we just won't have statistics about it, but I'll attempt to rebuild it in the background once Matt's done his presentation.
Okay.
Back to you.
And so we're having people register, and then we are going to do the first question?
Well, we need to have your session first.
Okay. Then we need to... Actually, I think we had our slides in the wrong order. So let's skip...
Let's go back one slide. So okay. You're right. There was a little more. So when you register, you're going to tell us what role you are. We're interested if there are BI developers here. Are your home country? The idea was we could plot that on a map. Have you been to Power Hour before? That was just information for us to know that, you know, how well we're doing our job. What you'll find is there's a bit of a rule. You can't answer a question until I fire off that the question's ready to answer. You have a reload button, and then you'll reload once I've given you the question, and then it's first in that gets the right answer wins. It's the reload button that drives the whole process.
Okay.
All right.
So we'll do this first question, or we will skip it and come back to it.
Are you first?
Yep.
After you.
Okay.
After your session.
After my session. Mm-hmm. We'll go back to that. Okay. So just a quick thing about me. As an intro, I thought I'd kind of show you what's been done in past years. It seems like there's a lot of new attendees for the Power Hour, maybe the first time you've seen this. So maybe I'll just jump right in and talk a bit about how I got involved in the Power Hour. So it was 2 years ago at Tech Ed New Orleans, or 3 years ago now, and I first saw the Power Hour in 2009. I was just blown away that we could do such cool technology and have such a fun demo and fun session as part of a Microsoft conference, which is usually, you know, more technical and stuff. And so I was part of the SSIS team, and I asked them, why isn't SSIS ever involved in the Power Hour? There's always things like Excel services and reporting services, analysis services, and stuff like that. And so they said, it's because SSIS isn't funny. It's just really, really boring. It's not flashy like PowerView and PowerPivot. So I set out to prove them wrong, and they gave me a chance to present. And then I had a spot, but then I couldn't figure out what I was actually going to present. It's actually hard to come up with a demo like that. So I was trying to solve a real-life problem. And at the time, I was really big into Facebook. I was using Facebook a lot. Here's a picture of my Facebook page at the time. That's me as a druid for my live-action role-playing, my LARPing days. I was one of the cool kids in high school, at least one of the cool druids in high school. And I'd keep my Facebook page interesting. I'd, you know, take pictures of what I was eating, post about the things I was watching on TV. I had a couple thousand pictures of my cat, Mr. Wiggles. Mr. Wiggles is the craziest cat, and I'd post lots of different stories about the things he does all the time, because everybody loves reading stories about other people's cats on the internet, right? And I made my Facebook page really interesting, but I had one big problem. Is that I had no friends. No one would accept my friend requests, and this used to get me really, really sad. And so it dawned on me one day, what do I need real friends for when I can create them programmatically, right? So I decided to create some connectors for SSIS that would connect to Facebook, and this is kind of what it looked like. So I had a Facebook source, it would go out and download my status updates. I had this advanced comment generator with an advanced AI, and would analyze my status updates and generate the appropriate comment. Then I had a destination that would post it back up. I even had a live login to Facebook, right, to simulate as if I had friends. Okay, all pretty standard stuff. I'm sure many of you guys have done something similar yourselves. Okay, so this demo had an unintended side effect, is that it made me insanely popular. I got flooded with friend requests. Like, people were coming up to me the next day offering to be my friend, and I just, like, overnight, I became this overnight sensation, right? And I basically went from hanging out in my apartment every night with Mr. Wiggles to going to parties almost every single night with Mr. Wiggles. And it was a really big lifestyle change to get adjusted to. And so the following year, what I did was I built an enterprise information management system using SQL Server 2012 technologies to manage my social life, okay? And so there's two different packages I showed. The first package is my friend request processor. So I got so popular and I had so many friends that Facebook actually emailed me, said I was slowing down their system, and they capped me at 5,000 friends. And so every time I added a new friend, I'd have to bump somebody off. And so I created this friend request processor so I could automate my processing of incoming friend requests. First, I had this script with custom logic that would go and analyze their profile. And to tell me if they were a cat lover or not, because Mr. Wiggles and I are very selective over who we want to hang out with. If they didn't make the path, if they didn't make the cut, I'd send them down my rejected path. I'd craft them a nicely worded rejection letter with my rejection transform, and then send them to my MySpace destination. If they did make the cut, I'd send them over, accept them, send them down to Facebook, accept their friend request. I'd also send them over to Master Data Services, because I used MDS to track my master friends list, so I could add attributes for them, like whether they were a friend or a frenemy, different information, right? Again, all pretty standard stuff. I'm sure you guys do something similar. The other package I showed off was my social life manager. This was pretty cool because I travel a lot and I post like, hey guys, I'm in Madrid tonight, what's going on? And I get flooded with requests, people asking to hang out with me. And so I created a custom stream insight transform that was able to sift through all this incoming data and take just the appropriate rows. I do a lookup against MDS to see if that person was a friend or a frenemy. Right, frenemy is somebody you keep on your friends list but you don't really like them, they embarrass you, you basically want to know where they are so you can avoid them. Right, so then I send that. My frenemies I'd send to another database for analysis, because I know if a lot of my frenemies are hanging out together, they're plotting against me. So I want to track that. My friends, I send them over to data quality services, because people will tell me the location that they're at, and I use DQS's addressing cleansing functionality, which comes into SQL 2012, to cleanse the addresses so I know where to go. Finally, it goes to a database, and I do some analysis on that so I can tell where I'm going to hang out tonight. So again, pretty standard stuff. After that, I hit this weird weird part of my life, because I don't know if you guys know this, but tech ed presenters are like live rock star lifestyles, right? It's parties and groupies and free t-shirts, and it's just this crazy life. And it gets a bit lonely after a while. It's hard to actually meet that special someone. And my mom, my business manager was really pushing me to find that special someone, right? To find that special someone in my life. And so I turned to online dating. And so I'll show you, so this is my initial online dating profile. And it did get a lot of messages, but it wasn't exactly what I was looking for. And so I decided to turn to business intelligence to help me make better decisions and help me build a better BI profile. So this is one thing I learned, is that you can actually use BI in non-business scenarios, right? So I did some analysis on online dating sites and the statistics on which profiles get the most messages. And I did stuff like I could see, the quality of the camera that you have will give you better messages. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that people with replaceable lens cameras are more attractive than webcam people, right? So data doesn't tell you everything. But I decided to drill in on the camera phone thing. And it turns out that Windows Phone users are way more attractive than iPhone users. I don't think this has anything to do with camera quality. This was my own personal research. This is the number of times you can mention your cat in your online dating profile versus the number of messages you get. So as soon as you mention your cat, the number of messages really drops off. Unless you mention your cat around 4 times, there's this weird outlier there. But anyways, in general, this was one of the things I learned. So this was my improved online dating profile. I used all the statistics, crafted the best possible profile. And then I wrote an SSIS package to process those my online matches. I didn't trust the algorithms used by the site. So again, turn to SSIS, and thing I love about SSIS is you can extend its platform, right? Create custom connections, create custom transformations. And I had this whole thing where I'd go out to my online dating source, I'd run through my matches, my own matching algorithm, and I'd redirect them in certain ways. If I found a match, I'd actually pop up their dating profile like this, and I could actually say yes or no and then follow up later on. And I had various, it's kind of a hit and miss. There's this, this. Anyways, it just got a bit weird. That's past power hours. This is just kind of give you a taste of what to expect in the power hour. If you're offended by any of that, this might not be the session for you. That was me using technology and BI technology to solve some real-life problems. I'm going to talk about some other real-life problems, and you'll notice that this real life isn't the same as my last real life. I'll let you decide which one is more real for me. But actually, I am married, and I have 4 kids. I love my kids. My life basically revolves around them. And this was a real-life story that happened to me, that my oldest son, Owen, he's 7 years old in grade 1, he had to do a presentation about what his dad's job is. And so he came to me and asked me, and I said, well, I work for Microsoft. What do you think I do? He said, well, you work for Microsoft, you make the Xbox, right? I'm like, no, sorry, I don't make the Xbox. And I could see he was disappointed, and then he hopefully asked, oh, so you make the Surface, right? These are his 2 favorite things. I'm like, well, no, I don't make the Surface. And I tried to explain, applications and making applications for people, and he's like, you mean like apps on the iPad? And I was like, well, just like apps on the iPad, only better. And he was a bit impressed by that. And so I showed him my PowerPoint presentations about Mr. Wiggles, and he was a bit impressed with that. He's in grade 1, and they're already learning to use PowerPoint, and he was amazed and surprised that I actually knew how to use it. So I showed him the Mr. Wiggles presentations and stuff, and I really wanted to explain business intelligence, but how do you explain business intelligence to a 7-year-old, right? So I asked him if there's anything he wanted to know more about. Now, I don't know if it's big in Europe, but in North America, there's this toy called Skylanders. And Skylanders, it's this very popular in my son's age group. It's basically a video game, and it has this portal, and you can buy these little Skylanders toys. You put the toys on the portal, and they appear in the game. Okay? The more toys you buy, the more of the game you unlock, the more you can access. And the toys are $15 each, and there's like 50 of them. Okay? Great, great business model for them, not so much for the parents. But of course, my son, I asked him what he wants to know more about, and he immediately said Skylanders. So I thought, okay, what better way to impress my kid than to actually build him a BI application to help him make better decisions about which Skylander to buy, okay? So let me switch over to this. I think I have the right one. Okay, so I'm gonna show a couple different technologies here. So has anybody seen Data Explorer yet? I've been to the Data Explorer sessions. So one of the cool things about Data Explorer, it's an add-in for Excel 2010 and 2013, it can be used to find data. Okay, so here, there's actually an online search button. And so the first thing I did to find Skylander's data, I decided to search to see what was out there. So I click search, and I can type in Skylanders. And let's see what the results. So this is some online search results that Data Explorer knows about and has already remembered. And hopefully my internet connection is still active here. Yeah. And I can hover over, and I can see the different result sets. So for example, this shows the Skylanders, all the different Skylanders games. I'm going to select that. That brings this data in. From there, I can filter and shape it how I'd like by pressing this button here. One of the cool things about Data Explorer is that it's a really powerful tool, but it's easy to use. Right, so if I look at my data real quick, I see that the first row contains the headers I want, and there's some columns I don't want. So I can easily start transforming it into the way I want. So use first row. I can get rid of these columns here because they're not that interesting. And I just hide those. This is the developer, and it looks like there's multiple values there, so I can actually split by delimiter. So I'll just split on comma, and that filters the data that way. I can get rid of these extra columns. I can rename this column to developer, if I can spell it right. So I can do really simple transformations like that to get the data the way I want it. I can also see the different steps, like the various steps here, and see the history of the data as I flow through the different levels of transformations. I can also click this script button because it shows underneath Data Explorer, there's actually a very powerful language called M. It's called the M modeling language. You can actually do a lot of stuff with M. And the neat thing about Data Explorer is it surfaces in a really easy UI, but there's a ton of power underneath. Okay, so that's an example of use Data Explorer to pull in the different Skylanders games, list Skylanders games. Fortunately, this wasn't enough to create a BI application, so I needed to do something else. So I went to Bing and Googled about Skylanders to try to find a Skylanders data set, but I couldn't find anything that matched. It wasn't exactly what I needed. But I did find a wiki site. So what I did is in SSIS again, I wrote a custom script in SSIS that that could go out to this wiki web page and basically do some scraping to grab all the data I needed and then dump it into some different databases so I could then load that into a Power Pivot model and report off of it. Okay? So I grabbed all this data, put it in, and then I loaded it into Power Pivot. So here's my workbook. If I open up Power Pivot, so of course Power Pivot is integrated into Excel 2013. It's called the Excel 2013 data model. And here's all the data I imported from my database. Then I can start drilling down and creating. I basically created a BI application for it using a tool called Power View. So insert Power View, you can drag and drop all your components on there. One of the cool things about Power View is it supports this thing called slicers. I'm able to actually, just by touch, I can switch around and touch the different Skylanders, displays their information, displays their powers at the bottom and some statistics. My son was blown away by this. He spent 2 hours just drilling around. Then once he was done, my 3-year-old jumped on so he could drill around too. And the touch is just so natural for them. I actually have 2 laptops at home. One's touchscreen and one's not. And they both are just covered in fingerprints because my kids assume that they can touch these screens. So that was what I did to impress my kids. If I switch back here for a second. A couple weeks ago, we had a parent-teacher, and end of the year parent-teacher with my kid's school. And so I got to see the presentation he did for his class about what his dad's job was. So we spent the day working on this and talking about the different things I did. And this was his main takeaway. His main takeaway was that I talk about cats. That's me saying cats are cool to an audience, and that I play with Skylanders all day. And to him, that was a pretty cool job, and he was very impressed. And that's it for me. Thanks.
So we're going to be up to the first quiz question. And if you were listening closely, you should be up for a chance of winning this. So basically, when I let you know, like right about assuming my internet connection's good, if you start reloading the page, there's a question for you about Matt's presentation. Can someone tell me they get a question? Nope. Oh, okay, because TechEd wants me to log in to the internet. And my password is buried. And is about 20 characters long, so I'm sorry, I have to key all this in again.
I'm a light bulb. Mm.
Check, check.
Oh, okay.
Your slides are up after this.
I reload. Is it working?
Is it working, or we can maybe...
Okay, ready, guys? About now. Please tell me. Do you see a question? And we have a BI banana up front. How are we doing this, Matt? Do you need to come down now, or... Well, hold on. Do we have two?
So you have a choice of a t-shirt?
Apparently there's two, so there's two prizes.
We have two dancing bananas.
There are two.
T-shirt? T-shirt? What? Power stick?
We have one there, and you definitely have one, sir?
That's fine.
Yeah?
So, which... Here, I'll come up.
Well, I'll carry one up. Nice cat. And where's the clicker?
No, no, here.
Thank you.
I think we have another question, too.
Was there three?
Do you want to show the other question, and then?
Yes, could you click forward, please?
One more question.
Right, so there's question number two. The first one was really just a warm-up. Wasn't really BI related. Yep. I'm not sure if Mr. Wiggles is a BI product. Could be the next project code name. What is the precise name of the demonstrated reporting product? Precision, right down to the character. Go ahead, reload. Thank you, we have a winner. First BI Banano. Matt, what are the prizes again?
We have t-shirts and power sticks.
Do we have two?
We're going to quickly run out of prizes.
We are going to run out of prizes. I tell you what, I have a. I need to upgrade my transaction management skills. So we will have to be really careful about this. I will have to be careful about this.
Power stick. Who else? Okay.
Here we go for the second session about something completely useless. It's me, Marco, speaking. We are Italian, so be prepared for some spaghetti English.
Yes.
And what you need to know about us is that we are BI guys too, but apart from that, we spend most of our time discussing and trying to understand things and try to pose questions.
Nobody
What's
can
wrong?
Listen to you.
No, you can hear me.
Yeah?
And discussing about philosophical questions and interesting topics. And during our discussion, at a certain point, we stopped and we say, hey, we need to pursue happiness. We need to find a way to be happy. I mean, everybody wants to be happy. Do you want to be happy? Just yes, so that's the reason why you are here, sitting in the dark room, looking at me speaking. I don't hear anybody say no. That's fine, thanks. So, the pursuit of happiness, we try to understand how to be happy. What are the keys in order to be happy? And of course, being BI guys, we want to do that using self-service BI. So the idea is to use our knowledge of the web, our knowledge of Excel, our knowledge of BI, in order to search for the key of happiness. So, Marco.
Okay. I can start using the most famous search engine in the world, and we will search for happiness index. Because, you know, somebody should have the answer. And
might be.
I see here Happy Planet Index. Let's see. So we have the data. Oh, nice. So they already did the job for us, it seems. So there is a table view.
Did you know that there is a place that measures happiness? I didn't. Yeah.
And now I want to get this data, so I get this URL. And another feature that you have in Data Explorer is that you can grab data from the web. So, for example, you can copy and paste this URL. At this point, you will be able to see in a few seconds that this page contains a table. This table contains data, so I can import this data. And now I can start looking at this data, and so I should make another transformation, and maybe we could, maybe there
I
was...
I think you can make it much easier. There is a download button
there. Yeah. Oh,
you just click download and download the data, then we can move on.
So I don't need Data Explorer for that?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
I already have this data. And we started this analysis because the happiness index was an index based on many questions, but we have seen that they didn't ask the very important questions. So we made a few searches, and we added very important information about, of course, the global the GDP of a country, how many people have marriages during the year. How many people make divorces during the year, and how many Olympic medals they get, and how many what is the ranking of the soccer team, of the football team, because I think that this could be very important. I mean, if you're do you like football?
I don't know, we can ask him. Are you happy when your
football?
Soccer team wins?
Yeah. Okay.
So, much better.
So based on this,
based on this information,
all these numbers, I created an index, and based on this index, I can say that the first country is let's see in Power View of which this country is Norway. Norway, then Sweden, Finland.
Happy country in the world.
Yeah, and oops, what happened? And as you can see, Norway, based on this Power View visualization, we can see the reason why Norway is the first. And the reason is that they have...
You measure how cold it is.
Sorry? Measure.
If it's cold, then it's happy.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound correct.
Anyway, they have many Olympic Games. They
is there
have,
anybody from Norway here?
Sorry?
You don't seem to smile.
No.
Anybody from Sweden? Ah, much happier.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody
from
Spain?
And how many of you from Sweden are happy when you win an Olympic medal? You go in the street with a flag? No. But when the football team win, yes, right? So I think we had to
change. I think we need to give different ways to things, because I'm not sure that your numbers are correct.
Yeah, but when statistics is involved, you have to somebody will say, fix the data or cheat the data. We just put the proper weight to data. So, for example, here I would say that, I will double the weight for the FIFA ranking because football is much more important. I will lower this one about the weight of the number of Olympic medals.
Nobody cares about Olympic medals.
I think that marriages is important, but I think
divorce is much more fun.
It's much. Yeah. The three.
You
know,
change something and your life gets better. And
okay, so
fights.
Let's see what happens.
More important.
At this point, I just refresh my data. So I update my data in. My Power Pivot data model, because in this way I can go back to my Power View and let's see who will win. Are you ready? Let's see. Spain! You know? Spain.
So basically, in Spain, they divorce a lot.
Yeah.
They don't marry too much, which is strange because in order to divorce, you need to divorce to marry.
They're very strong at football.
I mean,
yeah.
That's fine. But the point is, Marco,
I
see. These numbers are interesting, and these numbers do some kind of measurement, and these numbers probably try to tell something, but they are hard to read. I cannot really understand easily whether you are measuring happiness or not.
Okay.
So I would suggest something slightly different based on divorces. What happens when you do a divorce? nothing strange. You find, oh, sorry, I forgot that I have to say that all this talk was on this line. You're just measuring money and young people reach space, but that's not correct. What I want to measure is what happens when you divorce. Basically, you simply find a new one, and then you start intimacy. So I guess that if you want to speak about happy people, the easiest way is to do a global survey and ask to all the people, how many times do you bing a day?
Yeah.
And so that is what I did. We created a website, and there we simply asked that simple question to all the world. And people came in and started answering, and we collected some data. But as long as we collected data, we got even questions from users that says, hey, listen, I tried to answer, but there's no number I can enter there because I cannot enter decimal numbers. And then other people sent us email, and those emails were strange and hard to answer, that says, I have different numbers. And they asked me to explain that. Of course, I couldn't do that. But they kept on doing questions. And finally, one really was hard to answer. Say, hey, yes, I mean more than one person. Otherwise, it's too easy to cheat. So we change it. We couldn't ask just how many times you bing a day, and we change it. How many times do you bing a week? That way, we hope to have better answer. But in reality, no. The kind of question we always get were always the same. So we had to spend a lot of time and leave the survey online for a long period. But finally, we got some numbers. So we really have been able to get something like 26,000 people answering this question. And the two questions, the interesting question from our point of view, were how frequently do you bing, or more precisely, do you bing at least once a week? And the other question was, are you satisfied with your current bing index? And even if we might know the answer, or we believe we know the answer, we wanted to check whether the numbers on the web are really giving us the pride for the best bingers. Let's take a look at numbers.
So this is the table with the numbers we gathered all around the world, and we added also the population for each country, so we know how many people are happy or not. Then the best way to see this data, of course, is not about an Excel table. And so again, we start creating a new peer review report. And so in this way, I can at least show you one useful thing in this demo, which is I can put simply a list of three values, so like the percentages of people that being at least once a week or more. So the higher the percentage, the more times they being every week, and how much they are satisfied for that. Now, again, this visualization is very boring. So one thing that we can do is, for example, trying to improve this visualization, performing something like the scatter chart. In this way, oh my God, we can see this in a better way, but still, I don't like this very much. So we can try to color by country, so we can select every country in this way. But again, probably we can add also the population. And oh, now I see
now
something that
better.
We can understand. So Alberto, what do you think?
Let's try to anybody here from United States.
Yeah, United States.
We have a few. Let me just see United States.
Yeah, United States.
That means you being
so
somewhat,
good.
You are somewhat happy with that. Half and half, that's pretty nice.
Not so bad, not
somebody
so bad.
From France?
Yeah.
Where nobody from France?
France?
Really?
Spain? Oh my God.
Oh, we have one. Let's take a look at Spain.
Spain?
No, there's nobody from France. Let's look at Spain.
Spain is very good. I mean,
Spain being beaten, they are more or less happy. But who's there? The top one?
This one. Nigeria.
This is interesting because you see that doesn't bring a lot, but they are still happy. So they are happy people even if they don't bring too much. These are, I guess, interesting numbers. Anybody interested in some other kind of numbers? Like, for example, UK?
UK? Just United Kingdom. Here.
Well, not so well. Who's that?
Not so good. Who is here? Fine. Let me check here.
Oh.
Oh, Greece.
That's the top winner. But more than 90% of them being once a week and still they are not happy. So, you see, the problem is that if you really want to be happy, you don't have to bring a lot. And you will be happy, at least for the current situation. Yeah. And if you want to bring a lot and be pretty happy, then you don't want to worry about your debts and about the economy and all this stuff.
What about this? Let's see. Who is this here? Japan.
Well, that's Japan. There's nobody from Japan, I hope.
Okay.
Thanks.
That's fine.
We don't have anybody. Okay.
Okay.
So that was just a demo to see how to use Excel to do some kind of stuff and funny things. If you want the workbook, just read it by yourself. I don't think we can share.
Well,
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Who's the next?
Thank you, guys. Next slide.
All right, next question. If you're paying attention, these guys were using Power Pivot. Did you have any DACs in that demo? Were they implicit measures or explicit measures?
Sorry?
Your measures in your data model, were they explicit or implicit?
Were implicit measures.
Were implicit. Well, testing your knowledge here of DACs, which is not a DAX function. So get ready. I'm just about to reset.
Then, right after this, we'll show the URL again.
There you go. Which of these six? One of them's not a DAX function.
Jump back to the beginning just to show that URL for anybody who missed it. Came in late. This is the quiz show. We're having some technical difficulties, but oh, we see the...
We have one over here.
Do we only have one this time? Okay.
Okay, well done. So what was the answer? It was... What was the right answer, sir?
It's empty.
It's empty, right. That's the way we test for null in a cube, not in tabular. It's is blank.
Shirt or a power stick. Okay, and so I guess we're about ready for the next. We'll switch over to the introduction slide. Okay, we'll switch over to the introduction. We need a mic. Somebody stole our mics. Oh, here we go. Okay, I may just jump down to this. The bio slide that is not a bio slide, because Grant did not send me a bio slide, but this is what he gets. We ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Here's my bio slide. My name is Grant Fritchie. I work for Redgate Software, and oh my God, I'm in the wrong room. Oh my God. One, I am American, so I have a funny accent. Two, I am not a BI person. I am a SQL Server DBA. Have you run your backups? Okay, have you tested your backups? That means you've done a restore in the last week or so? Because if not, that we all need to leave the room now. Come on. No, crap.
Actually, quick
I tried.
How many DBAs are there in the room? DBAs? Only a couple. And
like
BI?
One. He's like this.
Yeah. And BI developers? Okay, so the most of us were in the BI
Oh, okay, yeah, no kidding. Cool. So you guys are going to love this then, because I'm going to talk about a topic that no one here at TechEd has talked about at all. As a matter of fact, it's not brought up in the Microsoft stack in any way, shape, or form that you're ever going to hear. I'm going to talk about this new technology Microsoft has called Azure.
Yes. Yes. And what is this Azure thing that you...
Azure. Well, actually, I'm going to talk specifically about this really cool thing called Azure SQL Database. Windows Azure SQL Database. Windows Azure SQL Database is a platform as a service, and no one's ever heard this terminology before either. I'm aware of this. It's not a problem. It's very easy. The concepts are simple. You're going to, instead of setting up servers for yourself, you're going to let Microsoft have everything. All your data, all your money. It's not a problem. Right? They're going to take all that and they'll manage things for you. Now, here's the cool bit. Anybody out there who's working in SQL Server, Microsoft's actually developing in Azure first. unknown little fact. They're doing lots and lots and lots of work in Azure first. Here's the cool bit. We can see it.
Well, actually, great. So it's interesting you're talking about Windows Azure because you say basically Microsoft is taking care of your database for you. Doesn't that mean you don't need DBAs anymore?
Shut up.
Okay. Check. Just,
so we're clear. Shut up. So Azure first. The cool thing about, oops, that's not on the right thing, is it? Look at that. And I suck as a presenter, too. The cool thing about Azure first is that you can actually see the artifacts of development ongoing. Now, I know this is supposed to be kind of fun, kind of not informative, but the fact is, this is true. So what I'm getting ready to do is probably going to get me removed from this event, from this building, from this room, and probably from the MVP program. I'm going to show you Microsoft development occurring in real time. But there is one issue. I don't know what any of this stuff is. I can just find it and show it to you. And that's it. We've got to figure out collectively what we think it might be. Right? That's the plan. It's just nice and simple. If we can figure out what it is, then we can make the release before Microsoft does. And they'll kick me out of the program. It'll be cool.
Yeah, I see, okay? I see no way this could go wrong at all.
Yeah, yeah. There's no downside here at all. So let's switch over to my portal. And here's the first one right up in front. So what we've got here is slow database objectives. Because let's face it, at the end of the day, most people's databases are running way too fast. Right? Your CIOs are sitting up there going, the first complaint out of their mouths on a regular basis is, oh my God, could you please slow down the database? It's giving me too much information too quickly. So they've actually exposed this new thing that they're working on called slow database objectives. So we're going to actually be able to set exactly what's going to run so we can slow things down, calm things down. What is the phrase I learned this week? Mañana. Right? We'll just mañana. No problem.
And they say, you know, Microsoft doesn't listen to user feedback.
I know. See? It's great, this kind of stuff. Unless anyone has a better idea, this is what we're looking at in the future. It's cool.
And so just so the non-DBAs understand, you're looking at the internal system views.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm sorry. I should have explained that. I am connected up to a Windows wrong keystroke. Correct keystroke. There we go. I am connected up to a Windows Azure SQL database. That's right there at the top. I am in the system databases. I'm in the master database, and I'm looking at the system views. Now, you can't actually look at system tables anymore. They've hidden those away. But these views, this is real data. This is the real deal. It's just I don't know what any of this stuff is, so I'm making it up as we go along. And it's really that simple. Dimension settings, slow dimension settings. SSAS people, you know you have problems with speed, right? We've slowed that down too. Yeah. We're fixing these things out. I mean, it's great. It's just, you know, somebody had a comment? By the way, you can come up with your own suggestions. Slow service objectives. That's not a problem. Watch this. I hand my phone over to him. I've just slowed down service for my company because I'm not going to answer it anymore. He is.
So actually,
have you run a test on the backups lately?
No, I haven't.
Oh, see, now we just slowed things down even more.
So I'm actually wondering, you know, this week we announced that Oracle now runs on Azure. Maybe this was part of the deal that to get Oracle on Azure, we had to slow down SQL Server.
We had to slow down SQL Server.
I think I
figured
it out.
Oh, my God, that's genius. That's actually a great idea. That's a good idea. There's more. Let's find them. Not that one. I know what that one is. I know. Here's the other bit that they're working on. And I think this is awesome, okay? If you look right here, Microsoft's building a new relational data store, and I'm really excited about this. I'm terribly excited. Developers, nice and high, way high. Cool. You guys write really, really bad code. Okay, I mean, it stinks. I'm not talking about your C# stuff or your F# or, you know, J# or whatever it is that you're working on these days. I'm talking about your T-SQL. Your T-SQL is wretched, okay? It's awful. But Microsoft is actually creating a query store. So we can go, not only can we spend our money storing data with Microsoft, we can go and buy good queries, guys. This is awesome, right? I mean, it's already laid out. It's going to be built right into the product, and we can pull that stuff down live. This is great. I mean, they're hooking us up. The Microsoft guys are going, we're going to kill this
guy. I can't believe he's showing them. All right.
It's, that's pretty much it. I can show more if you want, but there's not nearly as much as funny, and boy, these guys have been funny this week.
Yeah, I can see that people from the Windows Azure SQL Database team not very happy here, so maybe we'll just move right along.
We'll stop there.
Yeah,
you wouldn't want to see.
But yeah, it's interesting. You can actually see the live in progress stuff right on Azure. That's pretty cool.
But that's true. That really is live progress. So I'm done. Thank you. Have a good day.
So the next.
Hey, next question. What does DMV stand for? Reload, guys. Tick, 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 tick. Yay, thank you. What does it stand for? Data mining view?
Nope.
Dynamic management view. We have a prize for this gentleman here in the red t-shirt.
Do you want to bring it up?
What do we got? Fast. Yeah, one of these, or you have a yellow t-shirt or a cap.
No jokes.
Yep. Now you can hear me. Okay, perfect. So just to give you a little background on myself, since I did provide background on Link Grant over here, I am the product marketing manager for Excel and Access. I know all of you love Access, so I'll be talking all about Access today. No, okay. We'll talk about Excel. We'll stick to that. But anyways, so I have been driving a lot of the exposure for Geoflow, and many of you have seen Geoflow in the keynote. I know it's becoming kind of a new cool capability within Excel. So I'm going to show you a little bit of that Geoflow magic that I call out up here. There you go. So just to give you a little bit of background on Geoflow, it's really more than just a BI tool. It's not really just another visualization within Excel. It's also a storytelling tool. So when we think about storytelling, we think about capturing different scenes within, you know, whether it's a book page or a scene in a movie, something like that, weaving them together into stories that you can tell to anyone, whether it's in a business scenario for an executive or for, you know, just your friends, telling them about your life, which I'll show you today. Geoflow originated with Worldwide Telescope, which was actually a Microsoft research project where the researcher was really interested in just visualizing the universe, whether that was the stars, planets, anything that was out there. So that's big data out there, lots and lots of points. So what he wanted to do was then bring that technology to Office, to Excel, where all of the business intelligence was taking place. And so that's exactly what he did, is he brought it into the Office division, and they basically built code from the ground up to replicate a lot of the technology in Worldwide Telescope. But this time, it's not looking at the universe, it's looking at the Earth. So the thing with Geoflow is that it actually allows you to create these interactive tours, much like Worldwide Telescope was able to do. And what these can do is take scenes that you capture of insights within your geospatial data, as well as temporal data, and be able to weave them together with cinematic effects. So this is something that you can use to solve both business and personal problems. So this is actually something that I've used to solve one of the problems that I'm having right now, which is finding a new place that I want to live. So I live in Seattle right now. I've moved around a little bit, but my parents live in Barcelona now. They moved there a year ago. So I would like to find a place, but probably in Europe, that can be close to these nice people right here. I also want to find a place that quickly adopts technology, you know, is fully wired, good internet connectivity, unlike the rest of this conference center. I also want to foster a healthy lifestyle among a place that fosters a healthy lifestyle among its inhabitants. So, like some of the happiness index that we had Marco looking at, kind of looking at similar stuff to that. So with that, I'll just I'll jump over to GeoFlow. And we have to hook it in here.
There you go, Ted.
No, I'm not. There you go. There you go. And so I'm not going to go through all the preparation that I used to create this, but what I did want to show you is that Data Explorer was used to bring in a bunch of different data sources. So this is public data about life expectancy. I have internet subscribers, sanitation. I also have the TechEd attendees, which is always interesting to see where everyone's from, what they responded to in their surveys. So this is all with Data Explorer. I was able to shape the data so that it can work with GeoFlow. And really, the only requirements for GeoFlow is that there's some kind of geospatial data. So that could be latitude, longitude, city, country, zip code. Obviously, it's best to have finer grain geospatial data just so you can map it to the particular point. But in this case, we're actually going to look at both latitude, longitude, and country. So what we do is we go into Insert. We can go to Map. And what we see is that I actually have a saved tour. So the tour is exactly what I was talking about, is that interactive journey and storytelling. So we'll jump into this one. This is one I created just for finding my next home. So it should open in a second. Oh, it's actually already open. There we go. So what we have is a number of different scenes that I've captured along the left-hand side. And so these have been created somewhat like PowerPoint slides. So you can think about GeoFlow as almost like Excel's answer to PowerPoint. In some ways, capturing these screenshots of data insights and weaving them together like PowerPoint slides in a presentation. So all I'm going to do actually is just play the tour and allow you guys to come along for this journey. So it'll phase that out in a second. What you'll see is this is where I was raised, on Mercer Island, just outside of Seattle, Washington, in the northwest of the United States. You can see I spent a number of years there. Then I went over to the East Coast, where I went to school at the University of Michigan. It'll zoom right into my fraternity house right there. I don't know how many of you know what a fraternity is, but I had some very good times there, partying it up, you know, maybe doing a little bit of studying. So that was 4 years of my life. Then I went back to Seattle, where I am now. So this is all using Bing Maps, and it actually maps to my exact address there, where I've been there 1 year. So 23 years total is what brings me to today and looking at where am I going to move next. So let's take a look at Europe, which is really where I want to focus on. And so we're going to start out by taking a look at where my parents live, which is down in Barcelona. I haven't lived there any years, actually, because I don't really want to live with my parents anymore. So we're going to zoom out a little bit just to take a look at Europe. And you can see all of Europe and looking at the TechEd attendees and where they're from, because everyone knows that I'd love to be near all of you. So you can see there's some good pockets actually outside of Spain, in the United Kingdom. We have Norway, Sweden, Germany, a number of pretty big groups of people. Then we'll look at internet speed. This is very important, as I said. I really need good internet speed wherever I go because I'm going to be doing a lot of GeoFlow, which actually requires a good internet connection like this. You can also look at the adoption of internet over time. So internet adoption is probably a good indicator of where some of the newest technology would go. And you can see Germany doing really well up in the northeast of Europe. Then also, sanitation. We definitely want sanitation. I might stay away from the Ukraine, a few parts of Turkey, and maybe stick towards Western Europe because sanitation is pretty good there. Life expectancy, also very important. I want to live a long life. And you can see that Germany is very good. Also, Denmark and Norway stand out quite a bit. And as we look at kind of life expectancy over time, Sweden really jumps off the map. And you can see I've incorporated a 2D chart to really get a better look at just that particular point. So in conclusion, I've kind of showed you my path of where I've lived and also some insights about the different things that I want to take into account when I'm thinking about where I want to live. So looking at this, I probably want to focus on that Western Europe. Probably Sweden, Germany are both very good candidates. Do we have any Sweden, Germany here? Oh, a few. Okay, so I'll be talking to you guys after about moving to your town. So, what was that?
I have a house for you.
You have a house? Oh, perfect. Okay. We'll definitely talk after. Okay. Well, thank you. That's GeoFlow. Actually, the one last thing I'll show you is actually that these tours are all interactive, so that if we wanted to go back a scene to the last one, we could actually interact with it right there. And it'll pause the tour, and we can just move around, zoom in. It's all touch-enabled on this device as well.
It really, really changes the way you start visualizing data. Yeah. And unlocks lots of possibilities about really getting the data out.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
So a question about the amazing rendering technology that GeoFlow uses.
This wasn't mentioned during the demo, but we'll see.
Go ahead, reload, guys. Yeah.
Can guess it. Random guess it.
I'm sorry, I have to put my password in again.
Okay.
Did that reload work or not?
No.
Okay, apologies, guys. They want to make the password about 15 characters long. Okay.
Okay. And while setting up, we will. So while setting up, we'll do a quick introduction to Ricardo. Ricardo, you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay, so my name is Ricardo Muti. I'm kind of a man of the world. My name is Italian because my parents are from Italy, but I was born in Canada, and now I live in the United States. And as a result of some data that I've just recently seen, I'm planning to move to Greece in a couple of weeks. I really like binging. I'm a big fan of binging. I like to bing at home, at work, at the office, even in the car sometimes. So Greece seems to be the place to be. But no, I work, I'm a senior program manager on the SQL Server BI team at Microsoft in Redmond. Specifically, I work on the PowerView team. So what I thought I'd do today is analyze some fun data using PowerView. So I don't know if we have another survey question, or I'll just go right ahead. Go right ahead. Okay, so what's some fun data that we could analyze with PowerView? Well, like I said, I like to be in the car, on my phone, or something like that. So speaking of phones, we all have these crazy smartphones nowadays, right? I have one of these. It's a Nokia. I really love it. It's a great phone. I'm on it all the time, probably too much. Despite all the ridiculous things that you could do with these phones nowadays, all the crazy apps you can get, what's one of the more popular applications or uses of these phones? It still is texting, SMS. Here you see somebody texting on an overpriced inferior phone. So it's really, really popular. It remains very popular in the United States. It remains even more popular in some other parts of the world, notably Europe. It's very, very popular in Europe. All the cool kids are doing it, case in point. It's so popular that, you know, now it's affected the way we socialize. When I go out with my friends or when you go out with your friends, maybe you go out to dinner or something, rather than talk to the people that you're with, you text better friends that you would rather be with, right? This is what going out now and social interaction is like. Here you see an example of a guy ignoring his date, and she's particularly thrilled. So this is what texting has done to us. But I thought this would be fun data to analyze. So first off, I thought it would be interesting to see what are the demographics of texting. How often do different people text in different age groups, you know, men versus women? So I thought we could analyze that. It turns out that there's a research organization that did a study about this in the United States and also a version abroad, internationally. What I did was I took that data and I pulled it into Excel and now we can analyze it using PowerView. So here we are in PowerView. Here you see some demographics of how many texts people send a day in different age groups, and the blue are female and the red are male. You can see that women across the board tend to text more than men, and you can see that the heaviest texters are what they call tweens and teenagers in the United States, people 12 to 17. They're followed, you know, in a close second place by people 18 to 24. And then there's a huge drop off when you get to late 20s, early 30s, my age range, right? And then I thought, this isn't super surprising. I know that teens text a lot. And then I started to wonder about how much I myself text and where would I fit into this graph. So what I did was I went to AT&T, which is my mobile phone carrier, and I got data from their web application. I scraped it, pulled that into Excel to see how often I was texting. And here's what I found. That's me right there on the right. I send, how many is this? I send 167 texts a day. Don't tell my manager this because then he's going to know I'm not doing any actual work. But I text more than a 12-year-old girl. So, you know, I thought I knew who I was. If I can, it's kind of a pain to switch between, but oh well. So I thought I knew who I was. I thought of myself as a guy approaching 30, and I was comfortable with this being my name. But I don't feel that it really adequately describes it anymore if we're going to take my texting activity as any indication. So you're going to witness history right here because I'm going to change my name. Now, I couldn't think of a name to change my name to. I'm not really good at making these sorts of decisions. It's a very subjective thing. So I thought, I'll leave it to BI. So what I did was I looked up the most popular names. I didn't want to change my signature, which is R. Muti, so I wanted to still have a name that starts with an R. So I pulled in data for the most popular baby names that start with an R. And the result is, you can now, I'm now no longer Ricardo, I am Rihanna. I realized when I got this result that I forgot to filter by gender, but anyway, that was the result. I'm not going to argue with the data. So next I thought it would be interesting to analyze the actual content of text messages. Now, I talked about how I took the data from AT&T and I pulled that into Excel. But if I want to analyze other people's texts besides just me, here's the problem. There isn't just one mobile phone carrier. There's a bunch of them. In the US alone, you've got Verizon, you've got T-Mobile, you've got a whole bunch of other ones, Sprint. And then I don't want to just analyze the United States data. I want to analyze data in Europe as well. You've got a bunch of other mobile phone providers. Now, I could pull those all into Excel too. But the problem is, do you think that all of these companies store their data in the same schema and that I could import it all in the same schema? No. I tried. I checked. They're totally different. Totally different schemas. And I would have to normalize it all and do a whole bunch of ETL and get this into Excel. And I thought, this isn't going to scale. What I really need is I need somebody to do this for me. If I could have somebody do this for me and aggregate this all and combine it all into some sort of normalized data warehouse, then I could just pull from that inside of Excel. The question is, what is that thing? So then I thought, well, there's got to be a partner out there that does this, right? We have a huge Microsoft partner network. Could I find a Microsoft partner who does something like this at least, and they could maybe help me get this data in a normalized fashion? It turns out that there is such a partner. Would you believe that there's a partner who already actually does exactly this? And that partner is the United States National Security Agency. It turns out they already have a program called PRISM. And what they do is they spy on everything that we say and everything that we do, which is extremely convenient for me. I mentioned to them, by the way, I said, I really hate your logo. It looks so 90s, it looks so dated for a modern thing that's just been in the news. Freshen up your logo a little bit. And they want this prison thing with the rainbow spectrum colors or something. I said, well, if you like multicolors, and you obviously like collecting personal secret data and using it for your own purposes, how about a logo like this? But they didn't like that, so they stuck with this logo. I said, fine. There's no accounting for taste. So they already pull all this data, text from all the mobile phone providers, into this one system. I said, hey, would you do me a favor? Can you stick an OData feed in front of that? So, sure. So they, I mean, we as the BI community should really thank the NSA because this is a fantastic service that they provided to us. So we've got this OData feed. I pull that into Excel. Now we're good. Now we can do some interesting analysis. Here's the thing. Do I want to just analyze any text? I mean, are all texts that interesting? This is supposed to be a fun session. I want to focus on fun texts. And not all texts are that fun or that funny. So I wanted to do some text analysis to maybe zero in on those that would be more humorous. So how could I do that? How do you find out? How do you analyze text to find out whether people are going to find it funny or not? Well, maybe it's hard to judge whether something is funny from a programmatic standpoint, but maybe there's a good heuristic that will tell us whether something is correlated to humor or likely to be funny. So I'll introduce a new DAX function to do this. It's called BAC, and you provide in a text. The input is the text that you want to analyze, and the output is the blood alcohol content of the author of that text at the time that they wrote it. Now, it turns out that there's an international standard classification of rating different ranges of blood alcohol content. So rather than reinvent, you know, my own way of rating how drunk somebody is, I'm just going to use the international standard. And it turns out that there's an international scale with exactly 5 ratings on the scale. So perfect for a 5-state KPI. So I'm going to use a 5-state KPI for that. The values are sober, had nothing to drink at all. Buzzed, if you had a few drinks. Tipsy, when walking becomes difficult. Schnockered, which means you have bigger problems than walking. And finally, Boris Yeltsin. So now, I'll switch over to a little demo. Firstly, I wanted to prove that there is, in fact, a correlation between blood alcohol content and the humor, or how funny a text will be. So along the bottom, from left to right, you have increasing blood alcohol content. And from bottom to top, you have people's actual subjective rating of the humor of a text. And you can see that diagonal trend. You don't find more, you know, stronger correlations than that. It's a very strong trend. Another thing that we can do, actually, is these, by the way, are texts from last night. If any of you guys, how many people went to the Country Drinks event? Oh, a lot of you. I wasn't able to go, but I heard that things got a little bit out of hand. So hopefully nobody here sent any drunk texts because that could be kind of embarrassing. But here, what I can do is I can analyze by the hour sent. I'll just drag that down into play axis, and we can animate over last night what happened to the text. So here we are. It's 5 p.m. Sessions are wrapping up yesterday, and you can see that everything is in the bottom left corner. Nobody's really had much to drink, and the texts really aren't that funny. As we play out the night, people are going to the event. People are getting more and more drunk. The texts are getting funnier and funnier. Here's the cool thing. We have maps in PowerView too. And all these phones now, they have GPS on it, right? So we know not only who sent these texts, what the content of the text was, the analysis that we did in terms of blood alcohol content, but also exactly where they were sent. And because we integrate with Bing Maps and they have satellite imagery, we have live imagery of the person when they sent the text last night. So it'll be interesting to drill into this. It looks like we have one text in Seattle. So let's drill into that. Let's just zoom in. And we're zooming into the Seattle area. Looks like it's closer to Redmond. It's probably somebody back at the office. See if I can see them. Zoom in a little bit more. There's my building there. Oh, and look. So that's Robert Bruckner. He's our architect on the PowerView team. So he's usually at the office really late, and I assume he's always been working, but maybe he's having a few drinks. So if I look at this, and if I click on this, yeah, it looks like he's in Building 34. He's got a blood alcohol content of 0.2, which gives him a rating of schnockered, okay? And his text is, if I zoom in on this, who wants to go skiing dressed light? It's summer, LOL. So Robert's Austrian. He's from Austria and is big into skiing, but, I mean, it's summer in Seattle. He can't really go skiing, so I don't know what he means by dressed light. I don't know how you can, you know, dress for skiing. And oh, there's the answer. So he's definitely dressed light. Let's see what's going on in Spain. Let me zoom out here. And let's go back over to Spain. This is probably from people at the conference. Yeah, it's all in Madrid. So let's zoom in a little bit more. And we've got something going on here. Oh, that looks like the conference center, IFEMA. So if I zoom in on that a little bit more. Oh, it's Matt Mason. Matt, what were you doing at the conference center late last night? He didn't go to the party, but he still had a bit to drink, it looks like. So if I click on this, he's not as drunk as Robert, but it says that he's tipsy. And it says, oh my God, I'm so drunk, I almost just used Oracle. The thing is, you can't tell from far whether people are that drunk. I mean, he looks fine, but if we zoom in again, maybe that's not, oh yeah. He's had a bit too much to drink. So let's zoom out, let's see what else is going on around Madrid. We've got another one over here. Let's zoom into that. Casa de Campo, so that's where the party was, the country drinks. Oh, and it's Alberto. Alberto, what were you doing last night? Let's see this. Okay, we'll click on this. And he's schnocker too, and it says, Power View is so sexy, Click View looks like your grandmother, LOL. That's harsh criticism. I agree with you, Power View is sexier, for sure. But let's zoom in to see what shape Alberto's in. Oh, yeah. Looking good there. All right, one more. Let's see who else we got. There's one big bubble up here, and the bubble size, by the way, represents their blood alcohol content. So this one's probably not going to be pretty. If I zoom in on this, where is this anyways? If I hover over it, Sala El Sol. So that's a nightclub in Madrid. So somebody looks like they went to an after party. And if I zoom in there, oh, it's Peter. Peter, let's see what Peter says. So I'll click on that. And he says, shuttle taking forever. Forget this, I'm taking the kangaroo. I don't know what he could possibly mean by that. Let's zoom in. Oh, there you go, nice. Just for the record, I do not condone taking a kangaroo when you've had that much to drink. Okay, call a cab. Anyway, that's it for me. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll hand it back to you.